This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou katoa, kua huhi mai nei, mo tēnei whai kōrero o tātou. My name is Peter Barron, and I am the radio pharmacist, and I'm here on OAR 105.4 FM every week. Over the next half hour, we will talk about how and why and when to use medicines and other matters concerning your health. If you missed the show or wish to listen to today's show or previous shows, these are available on podcast. I'm always happy to talk about any specific issues or questions that you have, and you can contact me at The Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or on my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. Nō reira, nō mai, haere mai, and let's get started. Kia ora koutou katoa. This is Peter Barron, the radio pharmacist, here in my usual slot on a Tuesday at noon on oar.org.nz 105.4 FM. So welcome back, everybody. I guess that it's going to be very difficult to not talk about COVID again today. Obviously, the last week has seen some dramatic changes in the environment in New Zealand, and as the government announced on Sunday, we're moving into, or we have moved into, red for the whole country, which was probably inevitable. I think we should be very grateful and very lucky that we've managed to get to this point without, you know, 2 years, just on 2 years into the COVID outbreak. We've been extremely lucky. I know there'll be some that will disagree with that sentiment. There'll be those who've got family and friends caught overseas. There'll be those that can't get partners here. That's just, the borders are closed, and I think we've benefited hugely. I talk every day with people who've got friends in Australia, or people in the UK, or people in the US, and they're saying how lucky we are. And I think, unfortunately, that's built a probably a fairly large sense of complacency in New Zealand. And probably worse, it's built a large sense of complacency against those that still seem to want to avoid the reality that we need to be vaccinated. So Omicron, as the Prime Minister says, is a very, very slippery beast. And the evidence is becoming very clear that it's highly infectious. But also, I guess the evidence is now becoming clear, it's probably not going to be quite as severe as Delta, it appears, and the other version, earlier versions of COVID. This variant appears to affect the upper respiratory tract more, rather than getting deep into the lungs. That's not to say that it's a mild illness. It is not a mild illness. There's nothing infuriates me more than people talking about, oh, it's just like the flu. The flu is not a mild illness. What we call, colloquially call the flu, influenza, is not a mild illness. You know, you've only got to go back to the, you know, the big pandemic after what, the end of World War One and into the early 20s. And that killed millions and millions and millions of people. In the same way that COVID has killed millions and millions and millions of people. All of the science suggests that the reported deaths are probably only about a third of what has actually happened. And that's obviously, and that's, I think it was the same situation with influenza and the great pandemic, the Spanish flu. It disproportionately affects certain parts of the population, those who are more vulnerable. And we need to be very grateful that our medicine, our science has moved on. It's mind-boggling almost to not think that we were able to produce very successful vaccines against this disease, and very quickly. And that didn't happen. It wasn't serendipity. It wasn't luck. It's planning that's been going on for years and years and years. It's probably unfortunate that many governments around the world, particularly in the West, didn't take the opportunity when we had SARS, when we had Ebola and things like that, or they may have reacted much faster. But one of the myths that I want to dispel is the notion that the mRNA vaccines are new vaccines. These vaccines have been around in design for probably well over a decade, possibly close to two decades. Certainly the science has moved on, and the science of terms of how we manage to get these particles into cells and into our body has changed dramatically in the last few years, particularly with nanotechnology. But so we need to be very grateful. But the one thing I do want to stress is don't think that this is a mild illness. It may be a mild illness for some people who don't get the severe symptoms, but what's becoming very clear is that there are significant risks for a significant part of the population. Long COVID, as it's called, is having dramatic effects, and we're only just starting to document those effects. I know there's concerns, and people are saying, well, what about the myocarditis, the pericarditis? The reality is, yes, one of the side effects of the vaccines, and I don't think it's just a side effect of the mRNA vaccine, is that you can get these very unfortunate complications. But the reality is that you're going to get the same complications, probably in order of magnitude of 10, if you catch COVID and you're not vaccinated. So COVID causes pericarditis. COVID causes myocarditis. People die from those side effects. They're not the side effects. The vaccine may, in some people, trigger that. But COVID also triggers that. So, I mean, I guess the key message that we have to repeat again and again and again is that we need to all get vaccinated. If you haven't had your first vaccination, then please go and get it. Don't wait till you play Russian roulette, because that's what you're going to be playing. If you don't go and get vaccinated now, then you're taking your chance. And the gun that you're holding to your head, you don't know which one of those rounds is live, and you don't know which one of them is COVID. But you sure do know that it's going to happen. So get vaccinated. If you've been vaccinated and it's been 4 months since your second primary vaccination, then go get that booster. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today, please. If you've got 5 to 11-year-olds in your family, in your whānau, whether they're your children, whether they're your family's children, whether they're your grandkids, please go and get them vaccinated. We've all had, with some exceptions, I guess, we've all had vaccinations all through our lives. I don't know of anybody that would refuse to have a tetanus vaccination, because tetanus is a very nasty way to die. Most people don't die from tetanus now, but they're going to get very ill with it. I certainly remember as a child when we still used to see tetanus in animals, and it was a terrible disease. And to be quite frank, it frightened the hell out of us. In the same way that polio frightened the hell out of us. So we didn't stop for one moment. There was no hesitation around, should we go and get the polio vaccine? We got the polio vaccine because we saw what it had done to our aunties and our uncles and our grandparents. And we didn't want that to happen to us. As I said, with influenza, there's probably not a family in New Zealand who in the 1919-1920 didn't bury some of their family who died from influenza. I've certainly, my grandfather, on his way to the World War I, he's buried in England because he died from influenza. So these are not mild illnesses. These are illnesses that make people very sick, and they're illnesses that kill some people. And unfortunately, that's what's going to happen with Omicron. We've got Omicron in our community now. We've done very well to keep it out. But it's very clear now that we're not going to be able to keep it out much longer. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be doing those simple things, as I said. Get vaccinated. Get your booster. Get your children. Get your tamariki. If they're between that age of 5 and 11, get them vaccinated, please. Masks are now compulsory. They're not an optional extra. They are now compulsory in all retail space. The government has mandated that. In the same way that the government mandates that we should wear seatbelts when we're in our car, or that you should stop for a red light, or that you drive on the same side of the road as other people, or you don't drive with your headlights off at night. It's not an optional extra, and there are consequences if you don't follow that. Sure, there are some people that can't wear masks, and those people are entitled to get a mask exemption. But if they get a mask exemption, then please, if you're going into retail space, at least have the courtesy to show that to the staff. You need to sanitise. We need to get back into this practice of sanitising. Washing our hands the whole time, using the alcohol wipes and rubs if we need it. Cough into your elbow. All the sensible things. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed as a pharmacist over the last year and into the year before, we didn't have the same number of coughs and colds in the community. And we had virtually no influenza. Now, why did that happen? Because all of these are respiratory infections, and it happened because we were isolating, we were sanitizing, we were wearing masks, and we were sneezing into our arms, into our elbows. So I guess it's a matter of managing risk. And as I said earlier, if you want to take that risk for ideological reasons, you want to put yourself at harm, that's fine. You can put yourself at harm. But please, please, please consider those around you. Consider your friends, consider your families, consider your children, consider your workmates, and consider your community. Well, folks, look, we'd better go for a break, and then I want to come back and I want to talk about some planning for what we might do over the next few weeks and the next few months as we live through this pandemic, and hopefully as it decreases to an endemic. So, folks, let's go to a break. This is Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist. We'll be back shortly.
The Radio Pharmacist, sharing tips and practical advice on the management of a range of healthcare matters every Tuesday at noon on ORFM Dunedin. Taking the time to explore some of the bigger issues around health and well-being in simple, easy language we can all understand. The Radio Pharmacist, bold, innovative, sometimes controversial, and not afraid to tell it as it is. Tune in Tuesdays at noon on 105.4 FM and 1575 AM or online at oar.org.nz. That's The Radio Pharmacist, every week on Tuesdays at noon.
you. I find the things that you do will make me feel
all right. Kia ora koutou katoa. This is Peter Barron, the radio pharmacist, back here in my normal slot on a Tuesday. And as I said before, we've been talking about Omicron and its inevitable spread through New Zealand. Just remember that if you happen to miss today's broadcast, you can always listen to it on a podcast. You can either go to the OAR website, oar.org.nz, click on podcasts, and then type into the search bar Radio Pharmacist, and then select the show that you want to listen to. Alternatively, you can go to my Facebook page, radiopharmacist.co.nz, and click on the podcast, and you can go through the same process. The government has clearly announced, and there are some more announcements coming out this week, but they are planning, I think, from what I understand, really a three-stage process around COVID. The early stage is the stage at the moment when hopefully they're still going to be able to contact trace, they're going to be able to use PCR testing, etc., etc., and there's not going to be too much strain on the community or the healthcare system. They'll still be doing contact tracing. I understand that the next phase that they're looking to move to is once those cases accelerate, then there'll be a bit of a reset, and that's when people are going to probably have to start to self-isolate and probably self-test as the capacity to do PCR tests, etc., as we've seen in Australia, happens. And then if it gets to be really bad, then it's we're just going to have to deal with it. Now, we were advised in pharmacy today, and we're expecting an announcement on Wednesday, but we were advised in pharmacy today that we are now able to access stocks of the rapid antigen test, what we call a RAT test. It appears as though the government has already stated that those tests are probably going to be made available freely to the community. What we're also hoping is that they're also going to be available for people to buy. We've certainly been getting considerable pressure. The only RAT tests that we're able to offer through pharmacy at the moment are tests for people who are travelling domestically and who are unvaccinated. I had to turn away, unfortunately, a lady today whose daughter was travelling to Australia. And at the moment, the only tests that we can do are provided by the Ministry of Health, provided by the government, and they very specifically, at this stage, are only available for those who are not vaccinated, who are not symptomatic, and who are travelling domestically, either by ferry or by plane. What is becoming clear to me is there's going to be both supervised and unsupervised tests, and that's going to depend at what stage we're at with this pandemic. There's going to be a group of people who perhaps don't wish to test themselves, and I expect that they're going to be able to get tested in GP clinics, at testing centres, and in pharmacies. It's very clear that there's going to be tests available for people to self-test in an unsupervised manner at home. I'm expecting an announcement from the government on Wednesday, which is going to clarify all that. In the meantime, what we need to be doing is planning and not panic buying. Our pharmacy yesterday was just crazy. We did about three times the amount of trade that we'd normally do on a Sunday. There's no paracetamol on the shelf. There's no ibuprofen on the shelf. We're running low in cough mixtures and all sorts of things. We're not going to run out of those products, and whilst it's prudent that people do stock up, please don't panic buy. But what you do need to be starting to think about, if you're on regular medications, you need to be making sure that you've got your repeats and plan about what's going to happen if you are a close, if you yourself contact Omicron, or you're for a close contact and you have to self-isolate. Have you got, as the government said, have you got a buddy? Have you got friends who can come and get your medication? Or do you have to arrange to have those medications delivered to you? So what I want to strongly suggest is make sure that you're not running your repeats on your medicines down to the last day, and you're not waiting to the day before you run out to call your doctor. because once we get into this this pandemic, if we get to the worst case scenario, then you're probably not going to be able to get what you want at the time that you want. And I was certainly doing some contingency planning with my staff today, and we're just looking at how do we manage that. What we cannot afford to do is we can't afford to close the pharmacies, particularly the big pharmacies. So we're looking at things like, do we split our workforce? Are we going to ensure that people don't bring prescriptions to us, that the doctors send them directly or the hospital sends them directly? And perhaps we call you and we tell you when they're ready, because the last thing that we want is people coming and breaking your bubble and running the risk, particularly if you're having to self-isolate or you've got COVID itself. So there's just a few little tips. We will manage through that, and we will make sure that we keep those essential services going. But what I'm suggesting now is, if we do get into the situation we're getting thousands of cases, then please don't expect that you're going to be able to get everything that you want the next minute, because it's not going to happen like that. We will do everything we can to keep our services going, even if that means that we have to take a day or a couple of days about it, because we're just going to have to manage our workforce. I cannot afford to have to close the pharmacy because my workforce either have COVID or close contacts of COVID. So that's the contingency planning that we're working on. I think the other thing that's becoming very clear, I was reading an article today, and you're saying, well, how do you know if you've got Omicron? Or is it a common cold? Or is it hay fever? The reality is that you can't tell those things apart. And what we're going to have to do is we're just going to have to get used to that idea of testing. Omicron certainly appears to be treating people a little differently than the earlier versions of COVID, which, as we said, we're getting down deep into the lungs. What Omicron appears to do is affect the upper respiratory tract. But that means the symptoms are things like runny noses. They're things like sore throats. They're persistent sneezing. They're probably headache, and they're probably cough. Now, that could be any one of any of the respiratory viruses. It could also be caused by hay fever. But the reality is that we don't know, and this virus is so contagious that we need to ensure that if you've got those symptoms, then you get tested. Now, in the early stages, at the stage that we're still at the moment, that means going and getting a PCR test. And I think you can get RAT tests at the COVID testing centres. Your GPs may be able to do them. We are not going to be able to do them as I speak now in pharmacy. But that situation may change by Wednesday. We're just going to have to wait and see. I'm feeling nervous about the prospect of, to be quite frank, I don't really want to see people who are symptomatic in the pharmacy. We're going to move to a regime where all of our staff will be tested every day. So we will be doing rapid antigen tests on ourselves to show that we're negative, and that's going to give us a degree of comfort in terms of where we're at. So, folks, look, we're just about out of time as always. I just want to finish by saying, look, we're going to get through this. We've done really well. It doesn't mean to say there haven't been stresses. It doesn't mean to say there haven't been arguments and disagreements. But just remember, we are in a very special place, and New Zealand has been incredibly lucky. We've been able to live just about normal lives for the last two years, and we'll get back to that situation hopefully very quickly. In the meantime, I urge you, if you haven't been vaccinated, please go and get vaccinated. If you haven't had your booster yet and you're eligible for your booster, please go and get it. We're out of time. So as I've said, if you want to listen to this podcast again, please go to oir.org.nz and look up the podcast, type in the Radio Pharmacist. So, nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Well, folks, all good things must come to an end. and we are out of time for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you found today's kōrero useful. If you have a question for me or a subject you would like me to discuss on the show, please message me on the Radio Pharmacist on Facebook or at my website at radiopharmacist.co.nz. If you missed today's show or previous shows, they're available on podcast at oar.org.nz. This is Peter Barron, the Radio Pharmacist, signing off OAR 105.4 FM for today. So until next Tuesday at noon, ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.